There are 39 milahot, which constitute forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. It's the why behind the way we do the things we do. Join Rabbi Moshe Schnurb now for Hilchos Shabbos, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is Soul to Soul on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Ki Seitze Tov Shin Pei Dalet. Wow, great to be back with you again. Baruch Hashem, Chaste Hashem. We've made it through another week. And a warm, warm welcome to our entire radio family. Anyone who puts on their radio device, whatever it is, and tunes in, even to a few minutes of our show, Ashrecha, you should be blessed, you should be fortunate. It's such a privilege to have the time together with you. So let's get stuck right in. This week's Pasha. Pasha's Kiseitze. Kiseitze la milchom alavecha. When you go out to war against your enemies, Rashi comments that the Torah is speaking about a milchemes rishus, which means a discretionary war. Now, with regard to a milchemes mitzvah, which is a war which we are commanded to wage, such as against the seven pagan nations that kind of inhabited Eretz Yisrael. So there we are enjoined not to take prisoners. Thus, the subsequent law regarding this woman, this Yefastea, this beautiful captive, would not apply by a mandatory war. Now, the Baal Shem Tov also applies this pasuk as a metaphor for the never-ending battle we must wage against our internal enemy, the Yetzirah, the evil inclination. We have no shortcuts in this battle. It is constant, so that it demands that we remain forever vigilant against subtle incursion of blatant attack. The obvious question is, how can the battle with the Yetzirah be considered discretionary? It's not the type of war during which we may sort of rest or perhaps decide to skip this battle. It is constant and continuous, certainly not one we can describe as discretionary. A Jew is on a mission to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, to sanctify Hashem's name in this world. As such, he is under divine imperative to see to it that nothing impedes him from fulfilling his obligation. The Kotzker Rebbe Zal explains that this aspect of reshus, of something being discretion, is not with regard to the battle, but rather to the timing of the attack. One has the opportunity to initiate the battle, to take sort of the offensive against the Yetzirah. If one waits until the battle has begun and the Yetzirah has already taken captives, the battle is uphill and much more of a struggle. We must change our strategies and alter our weaponry in order to fight effectively from a weaker vantage point. Right? Therefore, the Torah writes, Ki seitze, when you will go out, you must take the offensive and not delay until you have sort of suffered already casualties. One does not wait until he has fallen into the abyss of sin before attempting to extricate himself from the sort of catches of the Yetzirah. At the point, it has become exceedingly difficult to kind of emerge triumphant. Rather, when one notices a weakness in his kind of imposed boundaries, a sort of a less than strict attitude to any particular mitzvah performance, so then he should realize the Yetzara is preparing its first salvo. He must immediately act, lock down his borders, and prepare to battle the Yetzara before it establishes its footing. The individual must demarcate his kind of red line and allow no incursion whatsoever. This is what the Torah means when it refers to a discretionary war. The individual calls the shots, not the enemy. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Oh, back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Parshas Ki Seitzei Tov Shin Pei Dal, as we prepare for another amazing, amazing Shabbos. And of course, this is already the second Shabbos in the month of Elul. So we need to start pulling up our bootstrings and think about what we want to do in order to get ourselves ready. This is the month to tzugaret, to prepare, to get oneself going for Rosh Hashanah. Before we get into our main discussion, let's always remember that the show is brought to you as a zchus for Refuah Shleima, for Mamash all the Cholim, particularly for Chaim Pesach ben Rocha Yehudis, for Menachem Mendel ben Nechama Dina, for Eli ben Nechama Lina, for Yehuda Hillel Alevi ben Shulamis Leah, for Gila Tamara bas Avram Avinu, for Lana Tevia bas Reina, and of course Chana Sora bas Avram Avinu. They have a b'zoicha to refuah shleima b'korav mamish b'soich shor cholei yisrael. May the zchus of the Torah we're going to learn today and our achdus of coming together to share and study Torah together be a huge, huge zchus to bring them all a refuah shleima mamish mamish b'korav. So this week already, as I said, we're in the second week of Elul. And we're about to read Parshas Ki Seitzei, which is, I think, the Parsha with the most mitzvahs of the entire Torah. I think 74 mitzvahs in the Parsha. And the final mitzvah in the Parsha is the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, wiping out, eradicating Amalek. This mitzvah appears at the very end of our Pasha, which of course we read every year, both before Purim, but also always during Chodesh Elul. Zochar es asher osa lecho Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. Baderech b'tzeiskam Mitzrayim. When you were on the way out of Mitzrayim. Asher korcha. Right, that he encountered you, he happened upon you. Again, baderech. When you were baderech, vayizanev b'cho kol anecha sholim acharecha, and he attacked at your rear all the weaklings that straggled behind you. Va'ata oyev v'yogea, while you were tired and exhausted, v'loy yorei lekim, and he did not fear Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't it interesting that the Torah uses the word derech, way, twice within the space of a few words? Es asher socha Amalek baderech, when you're on the way. Asher korcha baderech, within like six words, it uses this concept of derech, a way, a path, twice. This already perks up our consciousness. Hey, what's going on here? And perhaps additionally, we also want to clarify that, what does it mean? Kol anecha sholim acharecha, all the weaklings that straggled behind you. According to Rashi, this refers to those people who were lacking strength on account of the averus they had done. right, whom the Anania covered the clouds of glory throughout, right, and they denied them protection. The Midrash Tanhuma, in fact, identifies them as Shevet Dan, who were cast out by the clouds. They all worshipped some kind of an Avodah Zarah, as it says, you were tired and exhausted, and he did not fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tired because of thirst, exhausted from the journey, and not God-fearing. Now, if they were so sinful and idolatrous that the cloud refused to cover them and protect them, why did Amalek even bother to pursue them specifically? So we're going to begin to develop the relationship between, listen to this, the month of Elul and the war against Amalek, based on an amazing, amazing insight from the Shar, Ruach HaKodesh, from the Arizal, which is brought in many of the other Hasidic masters quote this Arizal, particularly in discussing the month of Elul. During the month of Elul, it is very advantageous to focus on the deeper meaning, he says, of a pasuk in Yeshaya Mem Gimel. The pasuk says, "Hanoisen bayom dorech." He who provided a path, a derech, bayom, through the sea. This kind of depiction alludes to the incredible light associated with the process of tshuva, which is called a derech, a way or path. Again, we're meeting the word derech. We saw it by Amalek, and now we see it by tshuva. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu illuminated for Yisrael the path of tshuva, particularly during this month of Elul. Right? With HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, let's try to understand what it means. Hanoisein bayom dorech, who gives us a path through the sea, and to make in such a way that's real for us, and it's quite instructive, right, regarding how a yid should behave during this month of tshuva. We find that tshuva is referred to as also a path, a derech, right? And is the kind of the path that is instituted for us to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Before we say Tachanun, we say Kel Erech Hapayim Ata, you are the God slow to anger, Ubal Rachimim Nikresa, you are called the master of mercy, and the derech tshuva oresa. You've shown us, established the derech of tshuva. And again, this also comes from a posuk in Tehillim Chafei, where it says, Toiv v'yoshar Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good and upright. Al kein yoyre chatoyim baderech. Therefore, he guides sinners on the derech. And Rashi comments, Hashem is good and upright. He doesn't reject sinners. If they wish to repent, he will accept them and guide them on the derech of tshuva. So we've seen tshuva with Amalek. We've seen tshuva associated in several places with the concept of tshuva. What's the association? What's the connection? Right, the interpretation of the pasuk, Al ken yoyre chatoim, he guides sinners on the derech, and refers to the path of tshuva, is based on a Gemara, on the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, in Makkos, where the Pasuk is expounded as an argument between Chochma, right, a wisdom, Nevuah, prophecy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, concerning the appropriate punishment for a sinner. And just quickly, the Gemara says as follows. They ask Chochma, wisdom, what should be the punishment of a sinner? She answered them, based on a pasuk in Mishlei, evil pursues sinners. In other words, they should die. They asked Nevuah, prophecy, what should be the punishment for a sinner? And she answered them, a pasuk in Yechezkel, the soul that sins shall die. They asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is the punishment for a sinner? He answered, he should do tshuva and Hashem will atone for him. As it says, it brings this pasuk, Tai v'yashra Hashem, Hashem is straight, Al kein yoyrech hatoyim baderech, because he shows the sinners the path of doing tshuva. From all of the above, we've learned that derech alludes to the path of tshuva, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu established for Yisrael, and from the pasuk, v'derech tshuva horesa. Therefore, the Arizal advises us to focus in this month on the pasuk Hanoisin Bayom Derech. And this implies that during the month of Elul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu illuminates for us the brilliant light associated with the Derech of Tshuva. Let's see if we can't get a bit of an understanding of what that path might be. This is 101.9 Chai FM. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Ki Tzeitzei Tov Shin Pei Dalet. We have embarked on a derech, on a path, to try to understand the connection between the twice mentioned concept of a path that we find by Amalek's attack of the Jewish nation versus many, many instances throughout Tanakh where tshuva is also referred to as a path. V'derech tshuva horesa. You taught us the way of tshuva. Al kein yoyrech hatoyim baderech. Therefore Hashem shows sinners the path. And of course the Arizal's advice to, on this month, concentrate on the pasuk Hanoisein Bayom Derech, who gives us a path through the stormy seas. Let's try to understand and make this really real and relevant for ourselves. So the Yismach Moshe explains the simple meaning of what the Arizal teaches us. He says we should focus on the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Hanoisein Bayom Derech, who gives a path through the stormy seas, right? We should focus on this in Elul, because this world, Olam Hazeh, is compared to a stormy, turbulent sea in which sinners drown. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite mercy and kindness, throws us a lifeline in the month of Elul. He shows us the derech through the sea, i.e. the path of tshuva. Let's develop this a little bit. The Shlach HaKadosh presents a fundamental principle regarding the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he quotes the Sefer Haredim. And he says, Olam Hazeh is a stormy sea. A person must imagine that he is floating. He should raise his head upwards towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should beware lest the treacherous waters enter his mouth. And he should protect himself from the waves that threaten him. Otherwise, he is responsible for his own demise. We can understand what the Shlo is saying based on the words of David HaMelech, who says, Lule Hashem, Shahaya Lanu, Bikum Aleinu Adam. He says, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not been with us when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared up against us, then the waters would have inundated us. The current would have surged across our soul. Then they would have surged across our soul, the treacherous waters. This teaches us that all the ordeals we experience in this world are comparable to treacherous waters, threatening to drown us. To survive, we have to raise our heads heavenwards towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Davin. It appears that the source of the remarks of the Shloah and then obviously the Sefer Charedim is in fact Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya says in Parshas Maaseh, he says, for this reason, nature, Teva, is referred to by the name, right? Teva, why? Because Teva also comes from the word litboa, to drown, alluding that a person will drown in the mire of his own abyss and will descend to the depths of despair if he's not aware of it. Like a person who falls into the depths of the sea and does not know how to swim and therefore drowns. In other words, the day-to-day operation of Olam Hazeh, this world, is called Hateva, which we usually talk about as Mother Nature. But the term Hateva is related to the word Litboa, meaning to drown. This teaches us that if a person is not careful, chas v'shalom, he is liable to drown in the natural hateva of this world, of Olam Hazeh. This, of course, then gives a little bit more of understanding on what the Arizal said. By focusing on this message of hanoisein bayom derech, that Hashem gives us a way through the seas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actually lining up for us the derech of tshuva during this month of Elul, so that sinners will not drown in the treacherous sea of Olam Hazeh. We are able to raise our heads out of the stormy sea and cry out loudly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu Malkeinu, Chatanu Lefonecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have sinned before you. Avinu Malkeinu, Achzireinu B'Shuva Shleima, Kadosh Baruch Hu, our Father, our King, please bring us back to you through perfect tshuva. King Solomon very famously says in Koheles, Ze l'umat ze asa l'kim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in perfect symmetry with corresponding equal and opposite forces, both good and bad. So as such, just as there is a derech of tshuva, bringing a person back to Kedusha and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, correspondingly, there is a derech of tuma, of what is called the klipas, the externalities, right? Chosen, unfortunately, by Rishoyim, which distances them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and from performing tshuva. The Arizal explains that he says in Likutei Torah, where the pasuk says Hanoisem Bayom Derech, right? He says that there is a derech, a path associated with tshuva, and a path associated with all the forces
of evil. And that's the derech mentioned in the pasuk, derech nochash aletzoid, the way of a snake upon a rock. So perhaps this is a reference to the primeval snake, the nochash hakadmoni, right? The serpent that persuaded Adam and Chava to betray the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by partaking of the Eitz HaChaim. So we have the derech of Kedusha versus the derech of Tumah. Clearly, when a person stumbles and commits an Avera, Chas V'Shalom, he has two options. He can choose the derech of Tshuva by repenting wholeheartedly for sins. This, in fact, will bring him even closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than he was before the sin. And that's evident from the statement of Rav Avoh Gmorin in Brochus, where he says, the Mokum Shebalei Tshuva are in a place where Balei Tshuva stands, Tzadikim Gemurim Einam Oimdim. Even great Tzadikim cannot stand there. On the other hand, he could choose the path that Tumah offers him. For when a person sins, the sin generates a malach of destruction. And we know this. This is taught in the Mishnah Perkei Avos. Ha'oisa mitzvah achas. Person does a mitzvah, koineloi prachlet echad. He acquires himself an advocate. But if he does an aveira, so then, koineloi kategor echas. He acquires a prosecuting angel. Right? The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains that an accuser is in fact a malach of destruction. This malach of destruction, generated by one's own averus, leads a person down the path of Rishoyim. Not only does it convince him that tshuva is senseless and a waste of time, but even worse, it entices him to continue and increase his evil, sinful ways. In the words of the Mishnah, says, Avera goyreres Avera. One Avera leads to another Avera. Furthermore, if this Malach sees that a person is contemplating tshuva, it causes him to despair, to believe that his sins are so huge and so numerous that it's too late and futile to even perform tshuva, that he is beyond any kind of tikkun. With that state of mind, he will continue his evil ways, chas v'shalom. Now, one other piece. There's a medrash, a Yalkut Shmoni, that David HaMelech was a Gilgal of Adam HaRishon. And Adam HaRishon gave him 70 years of his life. This explains why David HaMelech began Sefer Tehillim by saying, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo holach ba'atzas v'shoyim. Praised is the man who refrains from following the counsel of the wicked. V'derech rishoyim lo holach, and did not stand in the path of the sinful, and also did not sit in the session of scorners. Now, in the Medrash Eichetiv, they interpret this as a reference to Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon said, fortunate am I if I have not followed the ways of the serpent, and fortunate am I if I have not sat in the company of scoffers. So as we know, Adam HaRishon was tricked and caused to sin by the Nachash, right, the primeval serpent. Right? It led down the derech of tshuva. in keeping by with the pasuk derech nachash aleitzur, the way of a nachash on the rock. So now, in order to make amends, in order to do tshuva, David HaMelech paved the derech of tshuva for all Jews. As in fact, the Gemara says, what's the pshat in the pasuk, which is written, a pasuk in Shmuel, Shmuel Beis, which says, Oim, that's a Noam David ben Yishai, Noam Agever, Hukam Oil, says that the words of David, the son of Yishai, the words of the man who was established on high. So Gemara says it means the words of David, the son of Yishai, who established the yoke, right? The mechanism, the path of tshuva. For this reason, he concludes the first perek of Tehillim by saying, Ki yodea Hashem derech tzadikim. Hashem knows the path of tzadikim, but derech rishoyim toiveid. And the derech of the Rishoyim shall perish. Again, referring to the two paths available to a sinner. So now we can understand why David HaMelech sort of prayed about these two paths repeatedly in Sefer Tehillim. On the one hand, he davened that he would succeed in following the path of tshuva, leading to kedusha, as, for instance, it says in the famous Kuf Yutes, Derech Pikudecha Havineni, right? Let me understand the derech, the way of your precepts, that I can discuss your wonders. Or in a similar way, in Kapitel Lamed Gimel, we say, Horeini Hashem, Derech Chukecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu, teach me, Hashem, the Derech, the way of your Chukim, of your statutes. So he begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu to teach him the path of tshuva, which is characterized as a chuk, because tshuva is completely beyond this world. It makes absolutely no sense. He concludes this pasuk. It says, the Tserna Ekev, which can be interpreted as a drasha, as alluding to the month of Elul, the Ekev, the heel, at the end of the year, at the time designated for us to do tshuva. And later on, another pasuk, he says, Derech Emuna Bocharti. I have chosen the derech of emuna. And again it says, derech mitzvasech arutz. I'm going to run in the derech of your mitzvahs. So he kept using the word derech in the context of finding his way to become closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on the other hand, David HaMelech davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he be saved from the derech of the nachash, which is the embodiment of that yetzara. In fact, he says in Kapitel Chof Tes, derech sheker hosem yimeni v'sarescho chaneni. Remove from me the derech of falsehood and graciously give me your or endow me with your Torah. So, along the same lines, he also warns us very, very sternly. Yatsev al derech loitav ro loyimus. If someone sort of stations himself on a derech of no good, he doesn't in any way disdain evil. So many different quotes where he dafka uses derech to indicate a negative path that no one should be following. So we see that David HaMelech refers to these two paths repeatedly in Sefer Tehillim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we know that since we're currently in the month of Elul, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us so much to travel on the right path of tshuva, right, in this world, in keeping with what we've said, that Hashem provides a derech through the sea. So let's talk for a moment and explore the words of the great, great tzaddik of Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right, before he passed away, right? To obviously a life of Olam Haba, right? With great humility, he said to students who were all Tanoim and a great Torah scholars themselves, he had an intense fear of the judgment day. He expressed his concern that throughout his life, he was confronted by two paths, and he wondered if he had chosen correctly the derech of tshuva. Let's identify who his talmidim are. We know in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five talmidim. There were Rabbi Loz ben Hukunas, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania, Rabbi Yossi Akoyen, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel, and Rabbi Loz ben Aruch. Right? And he used to sort of enumerate their praises, etc., and he said wonderful things about them. Now, these talmidim illuminated the world with their Torah. From their greatness, we can only begin to imagine the greatness and holiness of their teacher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yet, he didn't refrain from pouring out his pure heart to them. He became very, very emotional and confessed to them his apprehension concerning Rosh Hashanah, the day on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits like a king atop his throne of judgment to judge his subjects who pass before him like a flock of sheep. All the more so that simple Jews like us should be overcome with apprehension and be motivated to perform tshuva. And he says to his students, I don't know what path they're going to be taking. He was crying and crying. He says, if I was standing before a human king who I can bribe, who his punishment isn't eternal, I'd still be so scared. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, who could never be bribed, and his decision is forever, and if he puts me in jail, that jail is forever, and if he kills me, his killing is for eternity, right? I can't bribe him with words or money. Moreover, I have two paths before me, one of the Garden of Eden and one of Gehenna, and I do not know on which one they're taking me. Right? This is what Amalek is. Amalek's mission is Asher Korcha Baderech, to do everything possible to block us from doing tshuva. All sorts of distractions. We're so busy in El with a million things. Let's make sure that we find the right path and travel and traverse that path so we can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and stand up before him and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I traversed the sea of this world and I'm ready to take up my role, to take up my position as your servant and walk that path together with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with the Hilchos Shabbos slot.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Pashas Kisetze Tov Shin Pei Dalel. As we prepare for the second Shabbos of Chodesh Elul, another opportunity to shut the world off and really focus on what Elul is about. You know, during the week, we're so busy and there's so much else going on. Who has time to actually sit and focus on Elul? Well, Shabbos, certainly, one must take the time to think about, maybe do it through the Pasha, maybe do it through Perkei Avos or some other Torah, but get in touch with with yourself. Before we get to our Hilchos Shabbos start, as we always do at this time, to go through the very important details you need to know for this coming Shabbos. So this afternoon, the earliest time to light your Shabbos candles is at 4:46. 4:46, you can already light your Shabbos candles. That's not far. It's 2 hours from now. You can already have Shabbos in your home, Shabbos in your life, Shabbos in your mind. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to actually accept Shabbos because you want a bit of extra kedusha, a bit of extra time away from the world, to steal some time away from the madness of the world and add it to Shabbos is the most wonderful, wonderful thing that one can do. So if you can do it, 4:46, you can already accept Shabbos and then just kind of mellow down, sit on your front stoop and say Shir HaShirim or read something Torahdik or kind of just think about the week and what you need to work on and develop. It's a wonderful opportunity. You know, we get so busy, we don't have a chance to do it. But as I always say, Shabbos, a Friday afternoon was never meant to be the crazy rush that we have in our lives. Let's try perhaps to be a little more organized, a little bit more sort of, you know, planning. Planning is everything. Get some more stuff done on Thursday or Wednesday and not leave everything for the last minute. And then we can have the privilege of having a little bit extra time of Shabbos for ourselves. If we can't manage to light candles by 4:46, then the latest time for benching licht this afternoon is at 5:42. 18 minutes before 6 is the latest time to light your Shabbos candles. And that's also not far away. We got to get our act together because remember that is, as always, the latest time for us. Basically, we have to consider Shabbos as starting from then. Those 18 minutes afterwards are only there in a situation of emergency. They are not to be relied upon just as an extra time to get Shabbos together. No, Shabbos has to be together and kind of on tap and all running by 5:42. Shkia then, sunset is at 6 o'clock, exactly at 6 o'clock. And of course, we're getting very, very close to the point where we're at the equinox. In fact, this week, we'll get pretty close because sunset is 6 o'clock, sunrise is 6:07. So another 2 or 3 minutes, they're going to cross, and we'll have our perfect 12-hour day and 12-hour night. This always happens at this time of the year. So Shkia is 6 o'clock, so therefore, if you want to make sure that you're davening Ma'ariv after night and can fulfill the Torah mitzvah of St. Krishma, 6:18 already is late enough to daven Ma'ariv and be yotze the mitzvah d'oraisa. If you can't daven that late, then of course you'll need to remember to sometime before and during the evening, perhaps before you start the Suda, to repeat the Kriya Shema. But as I say, it's still quite doable. Most shuls will only get to saying Kriya Shema and Ma'ariv after 6:18, as I say, particularly if the Rav gives a little bit of a drasha before Ma'ariv. And then, of course, we come home and we sit and we have a beautiful meal together. It's really a little bit warmer today. So please, God, you can maybe sit outside. You can maybe enjoy and relax a beautiful, beautiful evening of conversation, of friends, of family, of a bit of Torah, a bit of singing, a bit of talking over the week. There's so much to do together. It's such a beautiful experience to sit together on the Leil Shabbos on a Friday night. Let's not miss out on it. Tomorrow, of course, is Parshas Ki Tsetse. Very, very busy Parsha. I think it's the Parsha with the most mitzvahs in the entire Torah, 74 mitzvahs. And lots and lots to learn, lots to many lessons, many great lessons to imbibe for ourselves. Lots of Rashi to get through. And of course, it ends, as we discussed before, with the Parsha of Amalek. The Haftarah, of course, is the fifth in the series of special Haftarahs for the 7 weeks between between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. Very, very short haftarah. It's actually combined with the haftarah we read on Parshas Re'eh from chapter 54 in Yeshayah, but beautiful, upbeat, optimistic prophecies about, please God, what's going to happen to the world very, very shortly when Mashiach comes. And so that goes together with the normal Parsha. And then the Shabbos carries on. It's getting a little bit long already. Of course, the Perek of Pirkei Avos this week is going to be Perek Beis, the second chapter of Pirkei Avos. We're nearly going to get to our last cycle. We're going to sort of, the next 2 weeks, we're going to finish up and do 3 and 4 1 week and 5 and 6 next week, so we can finish again. And Shabbos Kodesh carries on and will end tomorrow night at 6:32. 6:32 is the end of Shabbos, and we go back into Elul and counting down the days. It's less than 3 weeks till Rosh Hashanah, and there's still so much we need to be doing. We are dealing with the laws of Shabbos. We're talking about drawing blood, and we said that one is allowed to remove a splinter, which is kind of lodged in a person's flesh, as long as one is careful when he removes it not to draw blood. If the splinter is kind of really painful, so then one can remove it, even if it will certainly cause bleeding. And that's, of course, because drawing blood in that situation is only rabbinically prohibited, and the Chazal did not extend their prohibition to cases that entail physical suffering and pain. That's what Mishnah Berurah says in Shin Chav Ches Peches. Now, it's also, one is allowed to remove a scab from a wound that has completely dried and will not bleed upon the scab's removal. This doesn't qualify if it's not as goizes, as shearing. Why? Since scabs do not grow from the body, but rather are just kind of dried blood from a wound, and therefore that is mut. Okay, let's carry on talking about personal sort of grooming, and let's talk about brushing and perhaps braiding one's hair on Shabbos. Now, one may not brush or comb one's hair on Shabbos, because when doing so invariably hairs are pulled out, and this is actually a beneficial phenomenon. Why? Because every day a person sheds dozens kind of naturally. People would rather that hairs with sort of weak roots be pulled out during brushing rather than fall out on their own in the sort of course of the day. And therefore, makes their hair kind of unkempt and their clothing sort of unsightly. So it's better to actually comb it out and get rid of it that way. In any event, since one may not brush his hair on Shabbos, so therefore brushes are considered muktzah, and therefore may not be moved on Shabbos, because they have no purpose, since you cannot brush your hair on Shabbos. Okay, we're going to come back with some final comments after the break. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul, and this is the greatest Jewish radio station in all of Africa.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 High FM.
101.9 High FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos, Kodesh, Parshas, Ki, Seitzei, Tov, Shin, Pei, Dalet. Last few minutes we have just to share a few more halachas together. So, you got the bad news in the previous segment that we cannot brush or comb our hair on Shabbos. So what are we going to do? So nevertheless, if one wishes to make one's hair a little bit neater, so he can use a special brush with very, very soft or widely spaced bristles so that there is a reasonable chance that it will not pull out the hair. Then, even if he does happen to pull out hair, he does not violate a melacha. This is because his intention is not to pull out hair. It's not done intentionally. And therefore, hair will not necessarily be pulled out, and the brush is not muktzah. Now, in order to make sure it doesn't look like he is using a prohibited kind of brush, it's advisable to have a special brush designated just for use specifically on Shabbos. And that's what the Shmir Shabbos Kilchosa brings in chapter 14. One may gently rub one's hair or beard, and one may use one's fingers to arrange them and to remove anything stuck in them, as long as one is careful not to pull out hairs. Even if these actions might cause hairs to be removed, again, one may do so, as this is once again unintentional. One who generally tugs at his beard in a way that causes hair to be pulled out must refrain from doing so on Shabbos, because that would be a problem if one does pull any hairs out. A Chazal forbade braiding hair on Shabbos because making a braid resembles the melacha of boine, building. Similarly, one may not undo a braid because this resembles the melacha of soiser, of demolishing. One may gather hair into a ponytail, as this does not create a kind of a structure. Similarly, one may part one's hair using one's hands, but one may not use a brush or comb to do so, as this again will certainly pull out any hairs. Okay, that's where we're going to stop for today. Just a few seconds left to first of all thank our entire radio family for joining us, for being part of the show. Please, please send comments, criticisms, shout outs, whatever it is that you want. Please, God, we should bezech to a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos of Menucha, of Kedusha, of Taira, of all the good things you want for ourselves, for our families, and of course, for all of Klal Yisrael. To each and every one of our radio family, a beautiful, gesund, and geschmack. Good Shabbos.